It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We know you did if you were a Patriots fan. Boy, did they beat up the Jets. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries going on for the next 2 hours. And if you're listening to this show live, you can give us a call at 508-298-0398. Or if you're listening to us on demand via the podcast, just send us a tweet at FFChamps with your fantasy football questions, helping you get into your fantasy football playoffs and then dominate in the postseason. That's our number one job, and we do our job very, very well. Isn't that right, Todd?
Absolutely, Bill. Especially this time of year. There's no chance to mess around now, Bill.
That's right. Only 1 week left in the fantasy football regular season.
Once Thanksgiving is here, you turn your full attention to the fantasy playoffs. You want to make sure you're in the playoffs first. And once you're in there, you got to maximize those matchups. So there's no time to mess around now, Bill. It's time to take home that trophy the next couple of weeks.
Well, listen, we got a lot to get to today. We want to help everyone out. Patriots, Dolphins, fantasy breakdown, week 13 waiver wire. We'll run through the list of injuries you need to keep an eye on. We'll also reveal our Week 13 player rankings. And, of course, we're taking your emails and your calls. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Before we move ahead to Week 13, Todd, what do you say? Let's recap the champs and chumps from Week 12.
Who were the playmakers, the showstoppers, the studs?
Woo!
And who were the losers, the bums, and the duds? Bill and Todd identify the champs and chumps.
All right, so champs and chumps, something fun we like to do here. We go over the top plays from Week 12 and also some of the guys that were bums, some of the guys that may have been in your lineups and may have cost you your victory. Yeah, definitely a boo on that one. Let's start it off with the quarterback champs. We have Tom Brady. Excellent game against the Jets. He didn't have to do a whole lot. His defense took care of most of it. So did the special teams. But Brady, nonetheless, 323 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns.
Everyone
terrific
sucks but me.
Brady.
Hey, you know, you have to admit, Bill, those Thanksgiving games, that trio of games, pretty fantasy friendly overall.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Brady in the nightcap, he came through, again, as I've talked about on this show multiple times. I have him in a couple of leagues, Bill, and he led me to some wins this week. You know, over 300 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, even got a rushing touchdown.
He even got a rushing touchdown. Got to love that. Extra points.
You can't ask for much more than that. So pretty happy with Brady. And then earlier that day, how about RG3, Bill?
Oh, boy, he went off against the Cowboys. You know, 311 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns. He also ran the ball for 29 yards. But RG3 just getting it done against the Cowboys. They got up early in that game, and you thought that RG3 would stop passing, but he pretty much had a solid game through all 4 quarters.
Yeah, he did. And, man, on the national stage, Bill, you got to think of it this way. There's a lot of people out there that haven't seen him play yet, you know?
Right.
That was his introduction to a lot of America. And, man, he just looked dynamite out there. Granted, it's against the Dallas Cowboys' sieve-like defense.
Yeah.
But, man, fantasy managers were pretty happy with that one. And then how about last night, Bill? Another dual threat with an easy matchup, and that's Cam Newton against those pathetic Philadelphia Eagles. But he came through just like 2011. He looked like
the
old Cam.
Yeah, it was his best game of the season for Cam. 306 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He also ran the ball to a 52 rushing yards, and he also had 2 rushing touchdowns. So Cam had four TDs on the day to go along with a nice chunk of yardage as well.
Yeah, he did. He looked, you know, he looked like the Cam of old, like I said, and that's good to see. The question is that kind of a fool's gold performance for fantasy managers heading down the stretch, Bill? I mean, you know, it was against the Eagles, who are in an epic slide. You know, he goes up against some stiffer defenses. I wonder if he can continue to put up numbers at that rapid pace.
Well, here's the thing about Cam. He's got a pretty good schedule in the next couple of weeks as well. I mean, This week we have him ranked, I believe, 11th on our FFCPI, our rankings at FFChamps.com. And he's going against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're ranked 25th when it comes to stopping the pass. So I don't know if Cam is back to what he can do or what we saw him do as a rookie, but you mentioned the easy matchup against the Eagles. He certainly has another easy one in Week 13 as he takes on Kansas City.
That is true, and he should be able to make it two in a row, which is good. If you held out and you know, had some patience with Cam, you know, he might be someone to rely on at least this week. But still, Bill, you know, he's had enough poor performances this year that it makes you wonder if you go all in with Cam during the fantasy playoffs, if he's going to pull through for you or not, you know?
Yeah, totally.
All right, QB chumps, Bill, who do you got?
All right, Aaron Rodgers, terrible game, Sunday night primetime action, 219 passing yards. He did have a touchdown, but he also had an interception and a fumble loss. He was sacked a bunch of times. Rodgers, I was very shocked to see him play so poorly against the Giants.
I loved it because I was going against him in a couple leagues, Bill.
So there you go.
So selfishly, I was very happy with that result. But, yeah, I guess that Giants D, well, you know, the Giants had that bye week and some time to kind of go over some things, and the Giants looked rejuvenated, you know, both offensively and defensively. And Aaron Rodgers, other than that bomb to Jordy Nelson, wasn't getting it done, you know.
And that was in the first quarter. I believe that was on their first drive.
Yeah, and you saw that, and I believe even the announcers, Al Michaels and Collinsworth, were saying, you know, this could be a shootout.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't. It was one team was a shootout, the Giants, but the Packers could return the favor. So Aaron Rodgers let people down, but I wouldn't be too worried about him moving forward. How about Carson Palmer, Bill? Carson Palmer back to Cincinnati, his original home, his original franchise. A lot of people thought he was going to put up a big number in that game. He failed to do so.
Yeah, and I was one of those people, Todd. You think he'd have extra motivation to play against his former team, the team that drafted him back in 2003, I would believe. The last 3 weeks, he had 30 fantasy points, 22 fantasy points, and 18. And then here he comes against Cincinnati, and he puts up 9 fantasy points, 146 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT, just not good enough. People started to trust him a little more as their starting quarterback in fantasy football, and he just let everyone down in Week 12.
Yeah, it was a surprising result, you know. He's kind of your classic garbage-time producer.
Right.
You know, I mean, the Raiders aren't going to win a lot of games, but that's okay in the world of fantasy. We don't care about the result of the game. We actually like it when the Raiders get down big because then you know he's going to chuck the rock about 40 times.
Right.
You know, and that's what he had been doing, and for whatever reason, he just wasn't able to get it together. 146 passing yards, Bill, that is terrible. That's like one half of work for him typically. So
yeah,
not good. Let's move on to the running backs, Bill. Who do you got?
Bryce Brown, the rookie for the Philadelphia Eagles, 178 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, LeSean McCoy wasn't in action, still dealing with that concussion. So Bryce Brown came in, and boy, did he have a phenomenal game, Todd. 178 rushing yards. This is a team that normally doesn't run the ball at all. But with Mike Vick out of the lineup, Nick Foles was under center for them. They gave it to Bryce Brown a lot, and he produced in a major way.
Yeah, you know, and just if I have to guess now, and again, you know, we tape this show here on Tuesdays, so it's a little bit early to look ahead to the next week. But I have a feeling LeSean McCoy is going to be out next week as well when they play the Cowboys. That's just my gut feeling. He hasn't passed his concussion test yet at all as of Monday. So, you know, Bryce Brown's likely to get the start next week as well against the Cowboys, which is a decent matchup. The issue, Bill, is, you know, DeSean Jackson, and we're going to get to this later in the show, he's been placed on IR.
Right.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
And if you watched the game last night, Nick Foles, it's all dink and dunk, man. They have no deep threats. And he's, you know, they're not calling deep passes for Nick Foles because they don't trust him, or it's because they lost the deep threat in DeSean Jackson. It's all dink and dunk and running game. So that's good for Bryce Brown owners as long as he's playing. And it'll probably be good for LeSean McCoy, assuming he comes back into action here in the next couple weeks. So, interesting, you know, Brown. No, he did break the 165 yarder for a touchdown.
Yeah,
the big concern.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a. He can get to the edge, man. The problem he has is he can't hold onto the ball, Bill. He holds it like a loaf of bread. He had 2 big fumbles in the game. You know, the Eagles are out of it. They're 3-8, so they probably don't care as much. But you got to wonder if they're going to trust him moving forward. if the games mattered, I would worry about them trusting him moving forward only because of the fumble factor. I mean, he fumbled it twice, and Bill, he could have fumbled it three or four more times. The ball is way out there. He's not holding high and tight at all.
Yeah, that's something he'll need to improve on, because you don't want that negative two if he has a good game. If he fumbles a handful of times, all of a sudden those negative points start catching up to you.
Correct. So, but a good outing for Bryce Brown. It was a good matchup. You know, the 20th ranked rushing defense was the Carolina Panthers. So it was a good matchup for him, and he produced nicely. How about Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Bill? Where the heck has this guy been? He also makes our running back champs list.
He does, and for the second week in a row, he got over 100 yards, 129 rushing yards against the Raiders, and one touchdown. All of a sudden, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, becoming a solid number two running back for your fantasy football squad, back-to-back week with touchdowns, back-to-back weeks with over 100 yards.
What did he do? He just disappeared in the middle of the season.
Yeah, he was awful maybe from like week 5 to week 8 or week 9, but he really turned it on the last couple weeks, and he was a guy that I tried to draft on a few of my teams, and I've been plugging him in the last couple of weeks because he's had some really good matchup. Played the Chiefs in week 11. We saw what he did in week 12 against the Raiders, and he makes our champs list this week for the running backs.
Three touchdowns in his last four games.
There you go.
And that's after he went 4 weeks without scoring a single touchdown. So he's definitely a guy on fire, 200-yard games in a row, someone to keep an eye on moving forward. And, you know, the Bengals are playing games that matter. So, you know, they're going to continue to keep rushing the ball, do whatever's working for them, try to get them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Another guy, Bill, on the running back champs list. This guy's no stranger to this list. That is Arian Foster, a Thanksgiving delight.
Yes, he was. And only imagine if they took away that ridiculous touchdown they gave to Justin Forsett. Foster could have probably had another touchdown on that drive because it looked like the Texans were moving the ball. But nonetheless, he finished with 102 rushing yards on the day, two rushing touchdowns. He also caught five passes out of the backfield for 15 yards. Foster, number one fantasy running back once again this year, barring any serious injury over the next couple weeks. But the guy gets it done every week, Todd. Three out of the last four games, he has over 100 yards. Four out of the last five games, he has over 90 yards. So just I don't know if you can get more consistent at such a high level than what Arian Foster brings to the table.
No, and a quick note, Bill. How about that Forsett run?
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Thank goodness that didn't really have any fantasy implications on anything. Like, what if that was Arian Foster that ran that?
Well, imagine. People would be in an uproar if you were going against Arian Foster and you see him run on this. You know, it doesn't have any fantasy implications, but, like, that was the longest touchdown run in Texans history.
I know.
And it shouldn't have even counted.
And that rule is ridiculous, by
the way. Oh, it's absurd. It's absurd.
What is that all about? How is that even a rule?
I don't know. I think that, you know, I don't even, who was calling that game?
Phil Simms. He had no idea.
Phil Simms and Jim Nance, or was it?
Yeah, because we ran it back on our DVR to get
They had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, because, you know, it's Thanksgiving, it's crazy in the family, there's a million kids running around, and we're watching the game, but we can't really hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when that happened, we rewound the DVR and listened to it again live, and we're like, well, okay, give us the explanation. And then we said, well, maybe after the commercial, they'll talk to their people, their producers, and get the explanation. They never had the explanation. They really had no idea what happened until much later in the game. And it was still confusing.
I guess it came down to that Schwartz threw the flag, and even though it's a reviewable play because it's a touchdown, if you throw the flag to review it, you get penalized. I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, but I didn't understand it at all. I mean, you've seen it in the past, not on touchdowns, but sometimes a coach will throw a flag out of desperation on a non-reviewable play.
Right.
You know, just to desperation. Well, I got to see if I can get this overturned. And what will happen is the referee will walk over to the coach and say, Coach, that wasn't reviewable. You can't throw the flag on that. And that's it. There's no penalty or anything. But because it's reviewable, and he throws the flag, now it's a penalty?
Right.
Like I did not. And they can't review it? It's just ridiculous. So anyway, thank goodness it had no fantasy implications. Because if that was Arian Foster that happened to, and all the people playing against Arian Foster would be up in arms, and all the Arian Foster owners would be loving life. But at least it happened to Forsett. So, you know, but still, I was thinking about that, man. I was like, oh, my God, that's crazy.
All right, so Bryce, running back chumps. Yeah,
go ahead.
Let's go to the chumps. Matt
Two
Forte.
Big names. Yeah.
Matt Forte. These are both big names, Todd, this week. Matt Forte and Marshawn Lynch both make this list. Forte, 42 rushing yards, one catch for four receiving yards. He also had a fumble. Marshawn Lynch, worst performance of the year. This was a guy that was playing like a top eight running back. Only 46 yards, one reception, and Lynch just not getting it done against the Miami Dolphins. That hurt a lot of fantasy managers this week because Lynch is a guy, you know what you can expect from him. He's going to get you 100 yards, and he might get into the end zone. Before the game against the Dolphins, he had four straight games of over 100 yards, and he scored in three of those four games. Good enough for over 20 fantasy points. All of a sudden, you see him playing the Dolphins in Week 12. Maybe it's a must-win matchup for your fantasy team, and he puts up 46 rushing yards off 19 carries. That was just pathetic performance. Not sure if the Seattle Seahawks weren't blocking as well or Lynch wasn't running as hard, but there was no beast mode, no Skittles. Lynch, chump for Week 12.
I totally agree, and I have Lynch in a couple leagues, so I was not happy with that one at all. Moving over to the wide receivers, Bill, who's on the champ list this week?
All right, we got two wide receivers that played on Thanksgiving. That's Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson. We'll start off with Calvin, 140 yards and one receiving touchdown. Todd, remember when everyone started crying about how Calvin Johnson wasn't producing and he wasn't scoring in the end zone? Well, guess what, people? Three straight games with a touchdown, three straight games with over 140 yards. The guy is the best wide receiver in the NFL, hands down, no doubt about it. He has to be in your lineup every single week. He's just a nightmare for opposing defenses, and he's a nightmare for whoever you're playing in fantasy football that week.
I know, and it's a pleasure watching him on Thanksgiving as well, Bill. You know, as crappy as the Lions have been over the years, they had a good year last year, but it always seems like they have a fantasy guy to watch, whether it was Barry Sanders back in the heyday,
right,
or whether it's Megatron or Herman Moore. I mean, I go back to the Herman Moore days, Bill.
Okay.
There's always seems to be a guy that they always seem to put up points on Thanksgiving. So I was thankful for that. But like you said, hey, how about Dez Bryant, Bill? A couple weeks in a row, man. He's starting to put something together here.
145 receiving yards, two touchdowns. Now we did have a fumble, but you take into consideration that he had eight receptions. Again, two receiving touchdowns in that game. I think he finished with the most points for any wide receiver in terms of fantasy in Week 12. And, Todd, last 3 weeks he's had a touchdown in each game, two of them on Thanksgiving, back-to-back weeks with over 140 yards. Finally, it seems like Dez Bryant is living up to the expectations, living up to the potential that he has just given his reputation.
And, you know, he gets the Eagles this week, Bill, at home.
I'm sure he'll have another quality game.
Brandon LaFell was running wide open on the Eagles secondary all game long last night. Bainbridge caught a touchdown pass from Cam Newton. Yeah. Dez Bryant will have his he'll make it another game in a row for his owners. He's on fire right now, and he has a great matchup coming up. And how about the other guy, Bill, on the wide receiver champs list, a guy that we weren't even sure was going to play this time last week, Julio Jones.
Now, this one's crazy to me, Todd, because Sunday morning the report came out that Julio Jones was going to be on a game flow, a pace of the game type playing status, meaning if the Falcons really needed their deep flyer, their red zone target in the game, he'd be in there for them. Otherwise, he'd probably be just resting on the sidelines. That all flew out the window as soon as the kickoff came. Six receptions, 147 yards and a touchdown. He had a huge 80-yard touchdown in the game, and that was, I think, in the first or second quarter.
Yep.
So Julio Jones didn't seem bothered by that ankle injury. The Falcons may have been trying to pull some wool over our eyes.
Absolutely.
Heading into that game.
Unless they consider the red zone the opposite red zone. He scores an 80-yarder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he led the team in targets, Bill. He had nine targets. He caught six of them. Nine targets. Roddy had seven. Roddy White. Gonzo had five. So I totally agree. And now you've got to kind of put the Falcons in the Bill Belichick category of can't trust those injury reports too much.
And that one really kind of hurt us because all the reports indicated that Julio wasn't going to play a whole lot. So what do? We rank him a little bit lower than usual. Now, our rule is you always start your studs, but just seeing the fact that he's questionable into the game and the last couple of weeks he only had less than 100 yards in his previous two games, and the ankle injury really seemed to be bothering him. So what do? You downgrade him a little bit, and then you watch him put up 147 yards and a touchdown. That's just not fair.
No, it's not right. All right, moving over to the wide receiver chumps, Bill. We're starting to see Larry Fitzgerald on this list quite a bit, unfortunately.
And I don't feel bad for a whole lot of NFL players because they're millionaires and I'm not. but one of them is Larry Fitzgerald. I can't think of a more talented player that is on a worse team. The guy is getting passes thrown to him by Ryan Lindley. Who the hell is Ryan Lindley, Todd? It was bad enough when he had to deal with John Skelton and Kevin Cobb. Now he's getting passes from Ryan Lindley. Give the guy a break. Bring back Kurt Warner. Do something here. Larry Fitzgerald, far too good to be producing so poorly. Three receptions, 31 yards in week 12. Only one reception 2 weeks ago for 11 yards. Larry Fitz, major disappointment for the second week in a row. And I hate saying that because, again, I feel bad for the guy, one of my favorite players to watch. But not when Ryan Lindley's under center, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you what, another guy on the chumps list, wide receiver-wise, he has Charlie Batch thrown in the ball, Bill, and that is Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace, one catch for 9 yards last week. But when you've got Charlie Batch, or like you said, Ryan Lindley out there in Arizona throwing you the ball, I mean, you are severely downgraded in the fantasy wide receiver category, correct?
Nah, exactly. And you hit it right on the head. It's because Charlie Batch was under center, not Big Ben. I knew as soon as Roethlisberger left that game against the Chiefs that Mike Wallace would start to produce less and less each week, and that's exactly what has happened. One catch for 9 yards against the Browns in week 12, four catches for 24 yards against the Ravens in week 11, and then he had that one touchdown against the Chiefs while Big Ben was still in the lineup, I believe. But Big Ben is a deep ball guy. Mike Wallace is a deep ball guy, and Big Ben has a rocket for an arm. Take Big Ben out of the equation, and all of a sudden, Mike Wallace becomes a very pedestrian wide receiver in the NFL. Nine receptions in Week 12. All of a sudden, Mike Tomlin, the head coach for the Steelers, is saying, well, he might stop starting Wallace. He may play Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown in the starting lineup. Brown is expected back this week for Pittsburgh.
What a mess. What a mess. I'm just looking at this, Bill, like you said. Last 4 weeks, even when they had Big Ben, okay, Wallace, one catch, four catches, three catches, three catches. And all those four games, he barely totals 100 yards receiving. Like, you add up those four games, he has 100 yards receiving.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, only one game this year with over 100 yards, and that was all the way back in week three against the Raiders.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right,
but he does get into the end zone when Roethlisberger's in the lineup. That's the thing that you got to love about Wallace.
Yeah, well, you know, as we sit here now, we're not so sure Big Ben's going to play this week against the Ravens.
Not looking good. Not looking good.
Like Charlie Batch again.
So, gosh.
He could change. He could change, you know, between now and then. We just talked about how Julio played at the last minute. So never know, but as we sit here now, it doesn't look good. So,
and you have. You have to keep in mind, Charlie Batch is their third-string quarterback.
I know.
He's not even the backup. He's the backup's backup.
Bill, Charlie Batch was playing for the Lions on Thanksgiving like 10 years ago.
Barry Sanders, I think, was still in uniform.
He was like handing off to Barry Sanders. That's how old Charlie Batch is, you know?
Yeah.
You're watching him at Thanksgiving, and it feels like in the 90s.
Byron Leftwich has the rib injury, so they have to bring in the backup. That's never a good thing. I don't care if you're Jerry Rice.
I mean, what's next for the Steelers? Bubby Brister?
Terry Bradshaw is going to come
Cordell
back.
Stewart?
Yeah.
You know? Jeez. All right, let's conclude this little segment here with the tight ends, Bill.
Sure.
Who are the champs and chumps at tight end this week?
All right, two tight end champs. Kyle Rudolph for the Minnesota Vikings, five receptions, 55 yards and a touchdown. And then Patriot fans saw what Dustin Keller did to your secondary, although didn't do really a whole lot in that game. Five receptions, 64 yards and a touchdown, most of which came in garbage time.
Yeah,
actually, it came in garbage time so badly that I almost shut off the game because my opponent that I was playing in one of my money leagues had Dustin Keller. I was like, oh, well, this game's over. Let me just see what the Jets do on this drive. And all of a sudden, of course, Dustin Keller has a couple of receptions, and then he gets into the end zone. And I threw the remote, and I was very, you know, a couple obnoxious text messages were sent, I'll say, to say the least.
It's spoiled your turkey indigestion.
It did. It did. That got under my skin.
All right. Well, hey, here are a couple tight ends that one more champ. One more champ. Kyle Rudolph from the Vikings.
Yeah, five receptions, 55 yards on the TD.
Right. All right. Moving on to the
solid game from Rudolph.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, our favorite reindeer.
There you go. Hey, he's the holiday tight end.
Yeah.
All right. Tight end chumps, Bill. Jimmy Graham.
Who would have saw this coming? Four receptions, 33 yards. And it's not like Drew Brees had a down game.
I know.
Drew Brees still had 267 yards, three touchdowns. You'd think Graham would have had one of those TD grabs. Not the case. I think that was his worst performance of the year. other than the game where he was just used as a decoy and he was kind of limping around the field. I believe that was that Sunday night game. It was against, was it Denver or Philadelphia? Oh, it was against the Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I watched this entire game, Bill. Entertaining, fantasy-friendly game, 31-21. A lot of points, a lot of stuff going on, and Jimmy Graham just wasn't involved in the game. You know, every time they threw it in the end zone, it wasn't to him.
Yeah.
So you got to figure, you know, we don't have access to the All-22 tape, but I have a feeling that the Niners were trying to take him out of the game, and they succeeded, you know. Four catches, 33 yards. Not going to cut it for Jimmy Graham, but, you know, that was against a tough defense. I'm sure he'll bounce back this week against Atlanta in what could be a shootout on Thursday night. Good game Thursday night, by the way.
Yeah, finally. We'll get into that a little bit. The other tight end chump from this week was Brent Celek. Two receptions, 19 yards. Now, this one I don't really understand. You think a rookie quarterback's taking over for Mike Vick with Nick Foles. You'd think that the tight end would be a safety blanket for almost any rookie quarterback, but not the case here with the Eagles. And I kind of feel like it's because their offensive line is so banged
blocking.
Up. Brent Celek has to spend most of his time blocking.
He's blocking. He's blocking. And he caught a pass early in the game, and, you know, and that was it. You know, he caught one more later, but it was just – he's, you know, you can't trust anybody in the Eagles passing him right now. You just got to – you know, I question why we even put him on this chumps list. I mean, is anybody relying on Brent Celek anymore?
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I would just keep him out of your lineups. There's so many other tight ends with upside. There's no upside with Celek at all right now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll break down the Patriots-Dolphins game from a fantasy football perspective. Plus, we'll be answering your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And you can also call in at 508-298-0398. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs Patriots.com radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Rooting for the Patriots is great.
Woo!
Rooting for one specific Patriots player because he's on your fantasy football team, well, that's just spectacular.
Brady on first down, play action, shoots it down the field, wide open, Gronkowski touchdown. That was like stealing. I mean, he was wide open.
It's time for the Patriots Fantasy Spotlight on Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you. Big AFC East matchup this weekend. New England Patriots taking on the Miami Dolphins. Although, Todd, at this point, I mean, Patriots are so on fire offensively, even their defense coming, playing lights out. Is it really that big of a matchup? I mean, the Dolphins, they just looked terrible last week against the Seahawks, even though they won.
Yeah, they won. That surprised us, actually, that they came back in that one. I believe they were down 21-7. Correct.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They look terrible, and then all of a sudden the Seahawks, I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Quite frankly, I didn't watch a lot of that game other than a little bit on red zone, so can't tell you how the game – I kind of figured the Seattle had it in hand. And,
that's what it appeared to me.
Yeah, I kind of saw – I believe it was – let me just check here. I believe it was 21-7, right? Am I going crazy? No, I'm incorrect. It was 14-7.
Yeah.
And then the fourth quarter, the Dolphins scored the rest of their points. So it was 14-7 going into the fourth. So, you know, there's – Kevin, you can chime in on this if you're paying attention over there, big guy.
Paying attention. Sick as a dog, but paying attention.
There's kind of this myth
out
there.
Oh, what do you mean you're sick as a dog? Let's hear this now. Well, what's wrong with you, Kevin?
I'm just sick.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I got the congestion. I got the sore throat. I got the cough.
Is it because the Patriots made you work on Thanksgiving?
No, I didn't get it till I'll say like Saturday night, Sunday morning, somewhere along there.
Were you outside with your T-shirt on?
No, I was outside for the whole game on Thursday night. It was pretty chilly, but
it was cold.
I was dressed appropriately, so maybe it was just like it's a head cold type thing.
All right.
I don't know. I don't blame it on anything but myself. You get sick sometimes, you know, it happens. But what were you gonna ask me? I was just looking at this Eagles news with the Jason Babin.
What a joke that is.
Yeah, just because I watched that game pretty much from start to finish, it had fantasy implications for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he just, I mean, he lined up in the neutral zone once on a big third down that cost him, you know, giving up a first down. And he just, they call it brother-in-lawing, I guess, when, you know, the DN just kind of like stands there with the left tackle. He did nothing. Just nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation with him that he's basically just tanked the past month or so. So
he looked awful. He created no pressure whatsoever, yep. And Newton did whatever
year,
he wanted.
A million sacks last year, and again, before the Eagles were out of it, you know, when they were like 3-4, 3-5, when they still had a chance, there were a lot of people thought that Andy Reid might cut him then to kind of quote unquote make a statement.
Yeah,
you know, and for whatever reason, they waited till now to do it. So. Well, whatever.
But yeah, no, it's not surprising after watching that game. That's the first time I had really like seen him a lot, I'll say, this year. I haven't watched a whole lot of Eagles games this year, and I was just like, wow. He's like, you know, for a guy that's made the Pro Bowl a couple times and had a lot of hype when he signed there, he just did nothing for me last night.
No. So how did we get off track here? What was I going to ask you again?
I don't know. I'm sick.
Oh, here's what I was going to ask you, Kevin, the Patriots fan.
Okay.
Galore.
Yep.
There's the myth out there. You tell me if it's a myth or there's some validity to it, that okay. when the Patriots go down to Miami, they have problems.
No, that's fact. I think Brady's okay. had a game down there where he's thrown four picks in one game.
Well, how about
last year?
Yeah,
but he also threw for over 500 yards.
Yeah, yeah, no. Last year was great. But I'm just saying, it hasn't been like a gimme win. I'm concerned.
Well, listen, I mean, if I go down to Miami, I'm going to be a little distracted.
Especially,
they got the cheerleaders down there. They got the sprinklers going off. They got Ryan Tannehill's wife in the stand somewhere. A lot of distractions down there in Miami.
Hey, now. But so here's my take on this. I thought, you know, if the Dolphins had lost that game to the Seahawks, you know, they're 4-7. They're, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty much eliminated from playoff contention. And I would have felt a little bit, you know, better about this game. But with that win, especially the way they won, they have some momentum. They're playing at home, and they're still very much alive. I won't say for the division, but, you know, for at least a wild card spot. I think they still have a lot to play for. And so that kind of concerns me. I don't think they're just going to roll over.
It's interesting. You're exactly right there. You know, they're one game out of the wild card, potentially.
Yeah, with Pittsburgh losing, they're all banged up. I mean, Indy barely beat Buffalo.
Here's the weird thing. You know, the Patriots, Patriots fans are feeling pretty good right now. They've won 5 in a row, right?
Yep.
But they're a game away from being the 4 seed.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
You know, because the problem is, while the Patriots have won 5 in a row, Baltimore's won 4 in a row, Houston's won 5 in a row, and Denver's won 6 in a row.
Yeah, I think people are... You know, we'll start with Denver. I think people are looking at the teams that Denver is beating. I mean, they barely beat, KC this weekend?
Yeah.
They beat some other bad teams. Houston's beat some bad teams and got away with a few, especially, you know, Thanksgiving. They really got away with one the week before. Jacksonville had them dead to rights, up 2 touchdowns in Houston. Baltimore, some really ugly. I think they won like 9-6 at Kansas City. You know, for all intents and purposes, this 4th-and-29 play, you know, should have been a loss this week. So I think I think people in especially the media are looking at how Houston, Baltimore, and Denver are winning these games, and also the opponents, the level of competition they're playing.
Sure.
And then when you look at the Patriots, I mean, their schedule has been a little bit more difficult. It's going to get more difficult here with San Francisco and Houston coming up. But you look at the way that they're winning some of these games the last month. You know, throwing 50 points up on the board, and just basically demoralizing and crushing their opponents, and it's just a little bit more impressive, I think. So I think that's why you're seeing, you know, despite the 8-3 record, you know, Houston and Baltimore, both with better records, but you're seeing the Patriots listed as like the number one team on a lot of power rankings just because it's a, you know, what have you done for me lately league.
I know, but that plays right into my point, is that, you know, this isn't college football where you get style points.
I mean, with you.
They're one slip up away from
being the
4 seed.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
And, you know,
that's why, in other words, I'm not worried about them taking this game lightly at all. I don't think it's a letdown game before the two big ones. But I think that Miami's not that bad of a football team. I mean, I think they're better. They're obviously better than the Jets. I think they're better than Buffalo. And, you know, when you win on the road in the NFL, no matter who you play, whether it's Kansas City, who's 1-10, or Miami, who's 5-6, whoever you want to, you know, choose, it's always tough to win on the road in this league.
Yeah.
That's just the way that I feel, having been in a lot of away venues. And I mean,
except for the Thanksgiving teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I've been in a lot of stadiums, especially with bad teams and, you know, teams that were having bad years. And it's just hard. I mean, it's hard whether it's the travel or whether it's just, you know, being out of your routine, whatever it is, it may not even be, you know, the fans or the climate or whatever. May not be a factor. It's just there's something about winning on the road in this league. I don't know what it is.
Well, Bill, you know, let's dive into this fantasy wise now.
Yeah.
Patriots Dolphins. You mentioned it. You touched on it last year, 2011, in the season opener, I believe, a 38-24 win for the Patriots. Tom Brady threw for 517 yards down there.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Welker was the big hitter on. 8 receptions, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns for Welker. Gronk and Hernandez did their typical damage with touchdown catches as well. How do you see it shaping up this week?
Well, this week I got Brady ranked 5th at my quarterback rankings at FFChamps.com, taking on Miami Dolphins defense that does pretty well against the pass. They're ranked 16th, so right in the middle of the road there. But, you know, the thing about Brady is you know that he's going to get 300 yards. He can get you 3 touchdowns. Maybe more like he did against the Jets on Thanksgiving. He has to be a top five quarterback in my mind every week, regardless of the matchup.
All right, so yeah, he's a perma starter anyway, so you're going to plug him in. You know, last week was kind of the first week that we didn't have Gronk in the lineup.
Yeah.
Right? The Patriots were Gronkless, and it was kind of interesting. The game got so out of hand so early that maybe we don't have a great read on his targets, Bill. I mean, Welker caught 7 passes for 71 yards and a touchdown. Edelman caught a couple passes for 64 yards and a touch. Hernandez got into the action, a couple catches. But, you know, what do we make moving forward? Can we glean anything out of the Thanksgiving Day massacre, so to speak, over the Jets from a passing game perspective? Because I didn't really get a great read on what they were trying to do because of all those defensive touchdowns in that 52-second spurt.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, Stephen Ridley, their running back, he got 21 carries, but he's been getting over 20 carries a few games this year. They used Shane Vereen a little bit more out of the backfield. He had that big 80-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Danny Woodhead not exactly in the mix. So it wasn't like they just totally reverted to their running game more since Gronk was out. I think, if you were expecting to see what the Patriots can do going forward without Rob Gronkowski, you can't look at that Jets game because, like you said, Todd, they had two special teams touchdowns or two defensive special teams touchdowns, one of them, off that Sanchez fumble. The other one, Julian Edelman returned off the kick return fumble. So the game got out of hand really quick. And then I believe, didn't we see Ryan Mallett at the end of the game?
Yeah.
We did for one series.
Yeah, for one series.
Taking knees.
Yeah, taking knees. Hey. If you're in a game that's out of hand, that Brady's out of it, then you know that it's not exactly your average run-of-the-mill type game.
It's kind of, just on that real quick, guys, it's kind of funny because a lot of people were speculating down there, especially in the press box toward the end of the game. I ventured up there when the game was over, and they were saying, oh, when's Brady going to come out? You know, it's 42-12. When's he going to come out? And I believe it was Chaz Schillens fumbled with maybe like halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And a lot of us thought, oh, maybe Mallett's going to come out, you know, to actually run a series or two and, you know, at least hand the ball off, maybe throw a screen, whatever. And Brady comes out, and you can just tell all the media is like, just run the ball. Like, we all want to go home. And first play after that fumble, Brady play action fake goes over the top. And, you know, you're up by 30 and hits Welker for like 35 yards.
Good.
It was hilarious.
Love it.
We love that.
I was like, man, Belichick really hates the Jets.
Good. He should. Did you see all the Jets fans berating their team as they were heading into the locker room? I tweeted it out earlier, FBNation_Bill. I sent out a video from YouTube. It's definitely not safe for work. Don't play it around your kids because there's a lot of cursing. But these fans, you know, they're fans of the Jets, but they were crushing them. I mean, verbal abuse. It was nothing like I've ever seen before. Just telling them how awful they were and that they should go get a new job and they're garbage and they shouldn't even come out at halftime in this second half. Oh, it was
You know what's funny, Bill?
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
You know what's funny about that? Can you blame them? I mean,
no.
The Patriots put up 35 points in one quarter, in the second quarter. And what do the Jets do to counter? They kick a field goal at the end of the half.
Yeah, sweet.
35-3.
Imagine if he missed that kick.
I know.
That's what I was thinking. I'm sitting there standing on the sidelines, and I'm like, if he misses this kick, I'm going to have to run for my life.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I mean.
Fireman Ed quit.
Yeah, Fireman Ed quit. What a mess.
And all they could yell at me as I was, you know, wandering around down there, all I got yelled at me was Spygate. That's all they've resorted to.
Oh, they went to that.
That's all they have over and over and over again. And I was just kind of like, your team's terrible.
Listen, you're talking about New York Jets fans, not exactly the most creative or intelligent fan base in the NFL. And I said it very liberally.
But at least the people leaving that stadium on, was it Sunday night? They were a lot more happy. With the Giants.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you're a Jets fan in the New York market, in two games in the same stadium, right?
Yeah, in one weekend. Yep.
I mean, you can. It's rock bottom for Jets fans right now. It's got to be rock bottom. They get destroyed, 49-19, and then the Giants destroy the Packers.
Yeah, big statement for the G-men the other night.
Yeah. Well, the Giants are, you know, they come up big in the big games. So. Where were we on this breakdown, Bill? We get into the wide receivers here, the Patriots wide receivers, fantasy-wise, what we can expect this week?
Yeah, we have Brady ranked 5th. I got Stephen Ridley ranked 16th, Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead are outside the top 35 this week at running back. But the wide receivers, I mean, I have Wes Welker ranked fifth this week, special here in a PPR format, going up against a Miami defense that has given up the 12th most points to wide receivers, which is why I also like Brandon Lloyd and Edelman this week, ranked 35th and 36th. Now, I know Edelman's dealing with some kind of, what is it, like a neck or a head injury, but concussion. I think he should be fine. Is it a concussion?
It is, I believe.
Because what I read was helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looked like a concussion.
It did, but we'll see if he's out there.
He didn't know where the hell he was.
If he's active, he's in the top 40 for me. Brandon Lloyd ranked 35th.
All right, so they're low-end options this week.
Lloyd!
Yeah.
Welker's really the guy to have in your lineup.
Right.
Of course.
And then how about tight end Aaron Hernandez?
That's not exactly saying a whole lot. Yeah, Hernandez, quiet game against the Jets, but at least he didn't aggravate his injury. I have him as my fourth-ranked tight end going up against the Dolphins' defense. We'll see what he can do. Maybe he gets involved a little bit more this week down in Miami.
He looked better, didn't he, Bill? He made that really athletic play across the middle that flashed at me.
It was kind of a one-handed catch, right? When he
came
across.
Yeah, a nice run.
Yeah, he had a great run. I was like, oh, wow, Hernandez.
Made some cuts. He just didn't get a whole lot of balls, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I'm waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. And then he really only caught two more passes the rest of the game. It was a little upsetting because I've been relying on Hernandez for him to come back for a lot of my different fantasy teams, and we all know that he's missed a chunk of games. But, yeah, he looked great on that catch. At least we know, you know, he can move around a lot now.
Like you said, Bill, as long as there aren't any setbacks, I think that fantasy managers will take that game from him, you know?
And he gets sort of the long week to recover now, too,
exactly.
Which is good.
He gets a long week. He's just 1 week further removed from the injury, right? So that's all good news. He's involved in the offense, and we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll be, the savior come down the fantasy stretch here.
All right, let's move over to the New England Patriots special teams and their defense because it's just been playing out of control. So how many points did they have last week? I believe it was 33 fantasy points in Week 12. The number one defense in Week 12, they allowed 17 points, two sacks. They sacked Sanchez twice. They picked him off once. They recovered four fumbles, and they had two touchdowns on defense and special teams.
Well, let's be honest. The two touchdowns are pure luck. I mean, come on. Sanchez runs into the butt of his offensive lineman.
I don't care how the points are coming. As long as they're coming to my team, baby.
I'll give you that one as luck. But the other one, Devin McCourty made a great hit.
He did, but the ball just bounced magically.
But the ball to land in Edelman's lap.
He's in full sprint.
No, I'll give you that. But at least it was a really good, clean
hit
on the ball.
I agree. But when we're talking fantasy, you get points for fumble recoveries, but the big points are the touchdowns. And
right.
I mean, they were very fortunate on those from a fantasy perspective. You know, they're red hot. Hey, the Bears were the same way for months. The Bears were getting the balls bouncing their way and pick sixes and everything.
That quickly died down.
So you make your own break. So I'm not disparaging the Patriots or anything. But you have to be a little lucky on these things. The ball's got to bounce up in the right way. Otherwise, you just jump on the ball. You know.
Yeah.
So it was just crazy. I mean, even my 8-year-old son was just like, "Dad, did they just score 3 touchdowns in the last minute?" I'm like, yep, they did. So anyway, all right. So let's move on to the Dolphins, Bill.
Yeah. All right.
What do we make of the Dolphins from a fantasy perspective? Is there anything to sink our teeth into this week?
Not a whole lot, Todd. Yeah, you talk about Ryan Tannehill, the rookie quarterback. I have him ranked just outside the top 20, even though he's playing against a defense that tends to give up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. I still don't trust Tannehill as my starting quarterback in fantasy. Reggie Bush, 2 of his last 3 games were absolutely miserable, and this is the kind of thing that pisses me off. All right, you take his game against the Tennessee Titans, he gets 21 rushing yards, he gets a fumble, he gets benched, and they don't really use him a whole lot in that game. Has another great game against the Buffalo Bills, great matchup, bad defense for Buffalo, Reggie Bush, 10 carries, 20 yards. So what do you say when he's playing against the Seattle Seahawks, who have the number 6th ranked rushing defense? Oh, well, Reggie Bush, not going to perform well, hasn't played well in the last month or so of the season. And what does he do? 87 yards and a touchdown. Can't figure this guy out. That was good enough for 15 fantasy points. Too bad most people had him on their bench because he's putting up duds the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. Unless the bye weeks are gone, all right?
Yeah.
So there's no more desperate quarterback plays for the majority of people in one quarterback leagues.
Right.
The only reason you're going to start Tannehill is if you're in a two quarterback league.
No one's starting Tannehill.
Right?
Two quarterback league, right? That's it.
Yeah, and in the two quarterback league, he's actually a decent QB too, given that he's playing the Patriots. You know, you never know. He's got some upside there. Garbage time production, and like we said, the Patriots secondary is still a little skeptical. They're getting better, but you know, you can still put up some points. I mean, Sanchez threw for 300 on him last week. Again, mostly garbage time, but. So I agree with you, but you know, Tannehill, if he's in your lineup and you're in a one quarterback league, then you've done something wrong.
Yeah, in a major way.
Reggie Bush, you know, like you said, Bill, I just don't trust Reggie Bush. He's a guy I just avoided in all my drafts. I just hate him. I can't stand having him on my team because of what you just talked about. The crazy inconsistency drives me up a wall. So I just avoided him altogether. So I'm not going to have to deal with him this year.
All right, then how about the wide receivers, Brian Hartline and Devon Bess? Now, Hartline is such a boom or bust type player. He's a guy that had 253 yards in one game. That was all the way back in week four. Since then, he's only had one more 100-yard game. He got over 75 a couple of times. But other than that, he's mostly a single-digit fantasy scorer unless he really has that big boom-type game that we know he's capable of. And it could come this week, folks, playing against the Patriots defense. They're allowing the seventh most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So I have Hartline ranked 22nd. And then how about Devon Bess, his teammate? Great option. If you're in a PPR league, he had over 100 yards in week 12. I have him ranked 32nd this week.
Yeah, interesting how it's kind of swayed over to Bess. Hartline, I admit, I picked him up in a couple leagues, Bill. In week four, he had that 253-yard, one-touchdown game. Unfortunately, that's his only touchdown on the whole year for Hartline.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, you're right. One touchdown all year.
One touchdown all year long. Yeah, last terrible. 2 weeks, production has diminished greatly. Like you said, you know, four catches for 49 yards against the Bills, and then last week two catches for 17 yards, rock bottom for him. So, like you said, hey, it's a good matchup for him. I would only put him in as a wide receiver three though.
Right. Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
totally agree. And then for their tight end, Anthony Fasano, I don't even know if anyone has him in a league. You know,
let's hope not.
Yeah. The only reason why I mention his name is because, well, he's their tight end for the Dolphins, but I doubt he'll do anything this week, and he's not really a fantasy-relevant type player.
No,
when Anthony Fasano scores, you know what I say? Oh, that helps no one, because no one has him in their lineup. No one has him on their team.
I know. It's like Justin Forsett for the Texans.
Exactly.
On that, the big run.
Exactly. Anthony Fasano, Justin Forsett, they all belong in that category that when they do something, you just say to yourself, well, that helps nobody. Fasano. He has a catch, at least one catch in five straight games, but it's only one reception. So he's talk about fantasy irrelevant. That's Anthony Fasano to a T.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right. That wraps it up, right? That's the breakdown.
That is it. And when we come back, we'll go over the players who went down with an injury in Week 12 and discuss their status for Week 13. Plus, we'll help you out with your waiver wire pickups for this week, and I promise we'll get to your emails and telephone calls. 508-298-0398, webradio@patriots.com is the email. That's all coming up next right here on patriots.com radio.
More fantasy football strategy and advice coming up next.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. We want to help everyone out with their matchups in Week 13. Todd, this is really, for most leagues out there, or at least all the leagues that I know about, this is the last game of the regular season. I can't believe how fast this year has gone by, but nonetheless, I mean, we still do have three or four of the most crucial weeks when it comes to fantasy football, and that's the postseason. So winning now is beyond crucial. We want to help you out. 508-298-0398 is how you reach us. You can also email in webradio@patriots.com, and a couple people already emailing us. Our boy Higgins says he's on a roll, 8 wins in a row, Todd. He wants to help both of us, and of course, ffchamps.com. He checks it on a weekly basis. He's heading into the playoffs, and he wants to know what changes he should make. A couple interesting options on the waiver wire at running back: Bryce Brown, Beanie Wells, Noshon Moreno, and Rashad Mendenhall. And he would have to cut probably Jalen Parmley to get one of those guys.
Well, yeah, first of all, dare we mention the name Noshon Moreno?
No. I was afraid this would have happened last week when I said it's probably going to be Ronnie Hillman or Lance Ball, but dare I say Noshon Moreno.
And I know.
Nonetheless, it came true.
He haunts fantasy managers. Everyone ran out and got Ronnie Hillman because of the upside, and rightly so. The rookie, good-looking rookie, and Noshon Moreno comes out of nowhere and produces. Good Lord.
So what should our boy Higgins do here?
Just the top of the playoffs. You know what? I guess I'm going to lean with Bryce Brown.
I'm going to leave it Brown, too. Another good matchup this week. I think the Cowboys, their rushing defense is not extraordinary. Alfred Morris still had a good game on Thanksgiving. I think Bryce Brown can get it done in his first second week.
Yeah,
definitely the biggest upside out of all these guys. I mean, Beanie Wells, what are you really going to get with him? Noshon Moreno, I don't trust him. And Mendenhall, he's injured every other week. So I think Bryce Brown's the guy. You're right.
Yeah, I'd go with Bryce Brown. That's what I would do there.
For his receivers, Justin Blackmon, Josh Gordon, Malcolm Floyd, and Danny Amendola are all on the waiver wire.
Cecil Shorts, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and Cecil Shorts. I totally glanced
That's
over
who
his name
needs
there.
To grab.
That's
Drop
who he
Jennings.
Needs to grab. Guy's been a top five receiver the last 4 weeks of the season.
I know.
I mean, I don't care. I'm gonna mention this a little bit later in the show, but I don't care that Cecil Shorts plays for the Jaguars, all right? He has touchdowns in the last 3 games, over 100 yards in 2 of his last 3.
Guy's getting it done. Who cares what team he's on? He's getting it done. That's what matters.
Yeah, you know, it's the stats are all that matters. Who cares what his name is, what number he has on his jersey, or what jersey he has on?
Yeah.
You know, you put all that aside. All that matters is the stat line in fantasy football. That's what it comes down to. And this guy, I mean, I have to admit, when he broke onto the scene, I follow college football closer than anybody, Bill. I have no idea who this guy was. And it doesn't matter. You pick him up. He's producing, like you said.
All right, we got another email from our friend Strippers. He's in a PPR league. He needs a flex help. Marcel Reese versus Cleveland. Marquise Colson a little bit banged up with a concussion against the Atlanta Falcons. Or Eric Decker versus Tampa Bay. I'm leaning toward Decker, given it's a PPR format on this one, Todd.
PPR format. I like all three options. This guy always has good options.
He does. It's because he's got
he must be dominating this league, because if he's got all these, he's benching two of these three guys. Because even recent PPR, Bill, I mean, that's not bad either.
I just feel like, to me, Decker is going to give you at least 12 points. Whereas Reese could get you 20, Decker could get you 22, but worst case scenario, Reese can really just get like 66 points for you.
Well,
whereas
you know,
I think the floor for Decker is a little bit higher than everyone else's.
I think that that Denver-Tampa game could be a shootout.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, way that the Bucks are playing, all these games are high-scoring, close games, scoring points, giving up points. That's what you want to see in a fantasy matchup. So, I don't know. Let's look at Decker for a second, Bill. I mean, do you have Decker in any of your leagues?
I have him in one league. I'm in a lot of leagues, but I have him in one of them.
All right, is it a PPR?
Yeah. He's dominant.
He's not that
dominant. I have him ranked 7th this week.
But, Bill, the last 3 weeks, he hasn't really done anything.
In a PPR?
Hold on a second. Last 3 weeks, Decker.
Yeah.
2 catches, 15 yards. 2 catches, 23 yards and a touch. 4 catches, 64.
So, in a full-point PPR league, last week he had 10. Week before that, he had 10. And then before that, the bad week against Carolina, he had 3. He had one bad game all year. Otherwise, he scores double-digit points. I'm telling you, he's a lock for 10 points. If you're in a full-point PPR league, which our boy Strippers is, he's a lock for 10 points. Lock. Lock it in.
Okay. And Colston's not?
I don't know. He's dealing with a concussion right now. Who knows? He can get banged up in that game. Maybe he comes out. You know, playing against Atlanta Falcons, I guess that's going to be a high-scoring game. PPR league, yeah, Colston's the same for a lock.
Well,
but I like the matchup better for Decker against the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks have given up the most points to fantasy wide receivers this year. The most points out of any given team.
Yeah, well, that's
the Falcons have given up the 7th least amount of points to wide receivers. So the matchup is totally in Decker's favor. It's not even a question. The matchup.
No,
if you want to compare how much they're involved in their offense, yeah, I mean they're probably equal. Given the fact that Sproles is back, Jimmy Graham's still in action. I mean, for the Broncos, think about it. Who do they really have? Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Brandon Stokley gets a couple touches a game. Jacob Tammy came alive last week. They have a mess in the backfield. No Sean Moreno and Ronnie Hillman. It's Payton's team, and he's going to throw to his top two guys, and that's Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker.
All right, last thing, though, before we close the book on this question.
Yeah.
Marcel Reese, last 3 weeks since he took over the starting job. In a PPR... 18 points, 23 points, 14 points.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot. He's
absolutely
been doing a lot. And this week, I think they're playing the Browns, right?
Yeah, Browns. At home. I mean, it's hard to trust them. Here's the deal. Again, Strippers has great matchups here. I mean, Marcel Reese is not going to get in the end zone. He has one touchdown on the whole year.
Right. And that was when McFadden was still healthy, I think.
It was the last game before he started rushing the ball. So, yeah, it was probably
right.
It was the game. It was against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, right.
Actually. So, you know what? Here's how I'll answer the question. Colston is concussion status. Do we know what that is?
Not yet.
All right. So if that's a question mark, let's put him on the back burner for now and let's make it between Decker and Reese. Agree?
All right.
I'm going to say Reese is the safer play. Decker has the upside play.
All right.
Is that safe?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
That sounds good to me.
So... if you're in the flex, you know, if you want to go boom, go Decker in that matchup. If you want to go safe, go Reese. Because you know Reese is going to get 70, 80 yards rushing. And probably 30 or 40 yards receiving at least.
Right, with five or six catches.
Yeah, but, you know, his worst, since he started this full-time running back, he has 7, 4, and 4 catches. Hmm. Yeah, that's solid,
let's
man.
Let's see if Darren McFadden comes back this week.
Well, that's a whole other issue. If that comes back, then it's totally Decker. So, all right. What else do we got? Any other emails?
No, that was it for just now.
All right.
What do you say we go over our the injury report from week 12 and who it affects for week 13?
All right, Kevin, cue it up.
Probable?
It is what it is.
Questionable?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Doubtful? Are any of your players on this week's injury report? It's time for Bumps and Bruises.
All right, so Bumps and Bruises is something we like to do to identify the players that you need to keep an eye on as we head into Week 13. They went down with injuries in Week 12, or they missed the last couple of games, and they're back in action, or potentially back in action for Week 13. Let's start off with quarterbacks. Brandon Whedon, the rookie for the Browns, has a concussion that he sustained against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Colt McCoy could play against the Raiders in Week 13 if Whedon can't go.
Nah, that's pretty fantasy irrelevant, hopefully.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show, you care about fantasy football, and hopefully you don't have Whedon or McCoy on your lineups. So, who else do we got on the list of quarterbacks? Big Ben? What's the deal with Big Ben?
Big Ben Roethlisberger hasn't played the last 2 weeks. Team is not ruling him out against the Ravens, who is their opponent in Week 13. However, I think it's very unlikely that Big Ben plays this week. They need him to play. Mike Wallace owners need Big Ben to play. Heath Miller owners need Big Ben to play. Pittsburgh Steelers fans need Big Ben to play. However, I just can't see it happening at this point. I think if they somehow manage to get a win against the Ravens with Charlie Batch, that keeps their playoff hopes alive, and that's what you want Big Ben healthy for. You want him healthy for that postseason run.
It's a tough call. I mean, here, you know, again, it's Tuesday, so it's pretty early to speculate. Right now, it doesn't look good, but I'm not going to rule it out, Bill. I mean, this is Big Ben. He's one of the best gamers in the league, and this is a game they really need to have. So you just got to wait and see. Fantasy manager's going to have to wait till the weekend, see what the status is. All right, I'm not ruling out Big Ben playing, Bill.
All right. I like to hear that because I have Mike Wallace, and he's been a bum ever since Big Ben went down. Let's move over to running backs, Todd. Matt Forte of the Chicago Bears went down with another ankle injury against Minnesota. Same ankle that kept him out during the middle of the season. Michael Bush probably taking over in the starting lineup. And as soon as Forte went down, we saw Michael Bush get into the end zone twice in Week 12. And I think Bush has a pretty decent matchup in Week 13.
Seattle.
They play Seattle, but Reggie Bush has had a great game against Seattle. 87 yeah, yards true. And a touchdown. They're without their top two cornerbacks. Brandon Marshall's going to give him
it's
a headache.
In Chicago.
Right, and it's in Chicago. So I think Michael huge. Bush, a solid running back number two this week, as long as Matt Forte is out of the lineup.
All right. Next one hit me hard on one lineup, Bill. I shouldn't say hit hard, but I'm watching the Giants-Packers game.
Yeah.
And I have Andre Brown. Uh-huh. And I do not have him in my starting lineup. And I'm watching him, and I'm like, all right, I'm finally sold on Andre Brown. I'm watching the first half. You know, he's getting the goal line carries.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, it's time for me to start putting Andre Brown in my lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half happens.
And he gets hurt. Breaks
and he
his
gets
leg.
Hurt. So there goes that. Broken leg. Is he on IR?
Yeah.
So he's done.
Designated to return IR. They hope to get him back for the playoffs.
All right, but he's done fantasy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And, what do you make of David Wilson, the rookie from Virginia Tech, coming in and getting any time? I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw looked pretty spry to me. He looked pretty fresh.
He did, and I think the bye week helped him out a lot. But he still has surgically repaired feet and ankles that have killed him the last 3 seasons. I think Bradshaw tends to wear down, especially toward the end of the year. David Wilson's going to be in this game plan for the Giants. They're playing on the Redskins on Monday night this week. You know, I don't know if Wilson is going to be consistent off the bat, but if Bradshaw goes down with an injury, it's just going to be David Wilson, and then that's when you really kind of figure out how much he can do for you. Because as long as Bradshaw's still in the mix, Andre Brown was taking away the goal line touches from Bradshaw. He was getting the touchdowns. But that's not going to happen with David Wilson. Ahmad Bradshaw will be used as the goal line thing. as the goal linebacker.
So, is Wilson just a handcuff right now?
I think he's just a handcuff at this point, yes.
Do you think the Giants really are going to go out and try to maybe sign him?
They signed Craig Lumpkin. I don't know if they'll go after anyone. I don't know if they'll go after anyone else, Todd.
Okay. Well, so if you're an Ahmad Bradshaw owner, right now you're looking pretty good. You've kind of been patient with him. You know, I thought he looked good. He should have scored that touchdown early in the game. He got caught near the goal line. All right. Well, for me, I'm obviously dumping Andre Brown. I was kind of hoping I could put him. It's a deep league, deep rosters, Bill. Not a lot to chew on. And now I've got to go scurrying for someone else. Maybe I'll pick up David Wilson. Who knows?
All right, a couple more running back injuries to get to here. Jalen Parmalee, the backup for Maurice Jones-Drew. That's right. The team's third string running back actually outplayed Rashad Jennings, who was the team's second string running back against the Texans 2 weeks ago. But Parmalee is now going to IR with a groin injury. Mm. Kendall Hunter, the backup to Frank Gore, is going to IR with an Achilles injury. Finally, some good news for DeMarco Murray owners. Hasn't played in over 6 weeks, but DeMarco Murray, with that foot injury, may begin practicing this week. How pathetic is it that I say it's good news that a guy may begin practicing this week? That's how much of a headache DeMarco Murray has been over the course of the midway through the season.
Huge headache. Here's the deal. They really – well, Dallas isn't very good. But if they've waited this long, you think that they think – they're going to get by the Eagles without him.
Right.
Don't you think so? Like,
yeah.
This isn't the week to bring him back. They really, you think they probably don't need him this week. You know? So
Murray hasn't played since week 6 against Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have him rotting on my bench in one league.
Collecting dust.
But you know what? I'm in the playoffs in that league, and if he can hold up, you know, if they keep him out a couple more weeks and get him back for week 15, 16, I guess I'd be happy with that.
All right, let's move over to the wide receivers. We talked about Marquise Colson a little bit earlier. He and teammate Lance Moore for the New Orleans Saints were both evaluated for concussions during the game against the 49ers. Colson apparently checked out fine. Lance Moore may have to sit out in week 13. Antonio Brown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, their head coach, expects Brown to be back in the lineup for their game against AFC North rivals, the Baltimore Ravens. How about Titus Young? Coach Jim Schwartz for the Detroit Lions says that Titus Young may not play the rest of the season, still dealing with a suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. And Titus Young has become quite a headache for the Detroit Lions. Apparently, he's not a good guy in the locker room, not a quality type teammate.
Because that's interesting, because he had the same issues at Boise State.
Did he?
And he had some suspensions early on in his career in college, and then quote unquote, he put all those issues behind him, Bill. And then he blossomed the last 2 years. He was on campus, stayed out of trouble, and had 2 huge years to cap off his college career. But now it looks like he's got a little money in his pocket, and who knows what his mental state is now. But that's good news for Ryan Broyles owners, Bill.
Yeah, Broyles has been playing great, over 100 yards. What do they have, like 12 targets for 8?
12 targets.
Yeah.
6 receptions, 126 yards.
There you go.
He really should have caught a touchdown pass, too. He was kind of throwing a little bit out of his reach, but he kind of should have brought that one down. So he's getting the targets and the looks, man.
Yeah.
Ryan Broyles, the most prolific receiver in college football history, Bill.
There you go.
And if Titus Young's out of the mix, you got to like him lining up the opposite side of Megatron.
One more wide receiver to get to here. That's Miles Austin of the Dallas Cowboys. He left the game on Thanksgiving with an injury, but the team expects him to be able to play with that hip and hamstring.
Okay. All right. What else do we got? Is that it for the injuries?
Let's quickly go over some do we have any tight ends? No, actually, the tight end's not that bad in week 12. No one really went down with a big injury. I think the only main injury was Kyle Rudolph got a little bit banged up, but he ended up being fine. Ed Dixon of the Baltimore Ravens, he had a knee injury. But let's be serious. Ed Dixon is not exactly a household fantasy name.
Let's hope not. Let us hope not. This is not the time to be relying on Ed Dixon.
No. No, it's not.
You know. This
Dennis Pitta, not bad. Not Ed Dixon, though.
Pitta caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know. Your boy Joe Flacco. Wacko for Flacco.
Not anymore.
No? Not Wacko for Flacco anymore?
No. I switched cereals. All right, so that was the injury report. What do you say, contingent on the injuries, so much of what we do on the waiver wire? Let's take a look at this week's waiver wire pickups.
Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, so our waiver wire pickups for this week, I want to start it off with the quarterback, and I have Colin Kaepernick listed here, Todd, and he got the start over Alex Smith against the Saints in Week 12. We don't know what's going to happen in Week 13, but if Colin Kaepernick is going to start, here's what you can expect. You can expect over 240 passing yards. You can expect two passing touchdowns, and more than likely, you can expect a rushing touchdown from Kaepernick as well.
Yeah, this guy, his nickname in college, Bill, when he was at Nevada, he was very Cam Newton, Vince Young-like in college, as you can imagine. Nickname was the Cyborg Gazelle.
Wow.
So there you go. You heard it
here
first.
That's a lot better than the Muscle Hamster for Doug.
Muscle Hamster, Cyborg Gazelle. Hasn't really caught on yet, but maybe we can get that.
We're starting
all
a movement.
You have to do, open the door just a little bit for Kevin and Muscle Hamster. He's going to play that every time.
He loves that hamster. He loves that hamster.
Good luck finding a soundbite for a gazelle, Kevin.
Do gazelle make any noises?
Have you seen the gazelle on those new Geico commercials?
Yeah,
or whatever they are?
With the night vision.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
You're better than that, Carl.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Bill, Kaepernick is the real deal. I'm surprised they're going to him this late in the season. We talked about this last week with Kerry Byrne. That's a kind of an interesting decision, given that they're, you know, one of the top seeds in the NFL coming into the playoffs. And, you know, Alex Smith, for all of his faults, I mean, he got into the title game last year. If it wasn't for, you know, fumbling punt returns, the Niners might have gone to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith. But clearly, Kaepernick offers more upside than Alex Smith, both winning ball games and in fantasy. I mean, the rushing threat is there. So,
yeah, totally. And I was surprised that Jim Harbaugh waited so long before announcing their starter. He told the team at like 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's weird how he's handling this. And it's a little – I'm still not completely sold that he's going to go Kaepernick the rest of the way. I don't know. There's some part of me that – I don't know, that maybe he goes back to Smith for the playoffs. I don't know why I think that. But, I mean, do you get the sense he's going Kaepernick the rest of the way?
No, I don't, because actually he came out and said Alex Smith is still our starting quarterback. However, you know, blah, blah, blah. As soon as someone throws in that however right there, that's when you kind of start to raise your eyes a little bit.
Well, it'll be interesting here. I mean, they've got the Rams this week, and then they go Dolphins.
A team they tied just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. And then they go Miami at home, at New England, at Seattle, and Arizona at home to wrap it all up. So, you know, but I agree with you. Right now, you know, you grab Kaepernick, even if it's a defensive move, Bill. Like, if you don't even need a quarterback, but you have a little roster space, just grab the guy as a defensive move so no one else can take him. Because this guy does have the potential to put up big numbers. Last 3 weeks, 18, 19, and 21 fantasy points.
There you
go.
Yeah, solid.
Solid production.
Right. All right, let's move over to running backs. I mentioned Michael Bush with the Matt Forte news. Bush in week 12, 21 carries, 60 yards. Two touchdowns. He's only available in about 30% of leagues, but I think he's a guy that if he is available, you have to pick him up right away. To me, if he's available, he's my number one waiver wire claim this week.
Yeah, well, he's probably, like you said, he's been snapped up in most leagues because of the, you know, the handcuff. He was one of the big handcuffs in the preseason, so hopefully if he's available, you got to snag him, but all the leagues I'm in, he's taken.
Yeah, mine as well. A couple more running backs. Knowshon Moreno, the Denver Broncos. Now, we all expected Ronnie Hillman, the rookie, to take over as soon as Willis McGahee went down in the starting lineup. But all of a sudden, Knowshon Moreno was announced the starter just an hour before game time on Sunday. Fantasy managers went crazy with the news. So if he was picked up by slim chance he was picked up on Sunday morning, more than likely he's available now. 20 carries, 85 yards. Four receptions, 26 yards in week 12. I think Moreno, the way things looked against the Chiefs, it looks like Moreno now has that starting job over Hillman, over Lance Ball.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ronnie Hillman, 3 rushes for 9 yards. Moreno, 20 rushes for 85 yards.
Yeah.
And 4 catches.
Right.
He had 24 and touches. Four,
yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Especially because he hasn't done anything all year. You know, we've seen Ronnie Hillman produce this year. No Sean Moreno, you know, he hasn't done anything.
How about Lance Ball? Not a single touch.
Not a single touch. Nope. Nothing.
You know,
zero.
Last week we talked about possibly, you know, we actually kind of speculated that maybe Ball would be the guy instead of Hillman.
Right. But you know, not Sean. Not no show Moreno, as I used to call him, because every year he'd come into camp and then get hurt, and he'd be a no show through the regular season. So, you know, I'm still not dropping Ronnie Hillman, but at this point you have to pick up no Sean Moreno.
You got to, and then you just cross your fingers that he can give you another week of production because you know it won't last. Something will happen.
We mentioned David Wilson earlier when we discussed Andre Brown's injury for the New York Giants. Wilson only 6 carries for 13 yards, 1 catch for 5 yards in week 12. But I think the Giants start to use him a little bit more as a change of pace back, especially with Andre Brown going to IR. And then Patriot fans, you all saw what Shane Vereen did in week 12. 10 carries, 42 yards, 2 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. That's the kind of production you wish you can get every single week. But at this point, you know, he's just not consistent. But I still want him if he's available on your fantasy squad.
Yeah, David Wilson, Shane Vereen, stash him away if you have the roster space. You
know, right.
Handcuff him, stash him away, and play him in a you know, if you have a desperation move, you can play him. But those are guys that they have some upside down the stretch.
Yeah. All right, some wide receivers to get to here. How about Pierre Garçon? Hot ticket item at the start of the regular season. Got injured in week 1. Kind of fell off the radar up until week 10, about when he was activated from that injury. On that Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys, 5 catches, 93 yards, 1 touchdown. He had 7 targets. Todd, we talk about it all the time. RG3 has one of the best deep balls in the entire NFL, and Pierre Garçon excels at catching that deep pass. We saw him take a short catch, actually, for a very long distance in week against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So that kind of gave me the info that his foot is fine, his toe is fine. He's back, ready to make some plays for the Skins.
Yeah, and the Skins got something to play for here. You know, they have a shot at the wild card, they have an outside shot. So, big game against the Giants coming up, and you know, I don't see any reason why RG3 can't put up big numbers once again.
All right, we mentioned Ryan Broyles after the Titus Young suspension news. Broyles, 6 receptions, 126 yards off 12 targets. Now he's a guy that is probably not available in a whole lot of leagues at this point, but he's available in over half. So that's good enough to me where you can try to look for him in your league. If he's still available, you have to go pick up Ryan Broyles. Anyone that's playing opposite of Calvin Johnson is probably going to have a decent shot at putting up some solid numbers.
Well, let's be honest. The Titus Young news that he's out is helps Broyles. I mean, if both Young and Broyles are in the mix, not quite as attractive, either one of them, you know. But
yeah.
Broyles is clearly the guy. Great in PPR formats. I like him. 12 targets, Bill. I mean, that's huge.
Broyles is owned in 25% of Yahoo leagues, 40% of ESPN leagues. So depending on where you're hosting your league, I guess determines who's going out and picking him up. That's pretty interesting. I've never seen such a big disparity before.
That's
23% on Yahoo, but 40% on ESPN. I guess ESPN people that use ESPN as their commissioner product are a little bit smarter than those that use Yahoo.
Maybe that, or maybe the guys that do the rankings at ESPN have Broyles ranked much higher.
Right, there you go, that too.
How about Mohamed Sanu, another rookie, Bill? Broyles is from Oklahoma. Sanu's from Rutgers. Wide receiver for the Bengals. He's coming on strong last couple weeks.
4 touchdowns in the last 3 games, Todd, and he caught 5 passes for 29 yards against the Raiders in week 12. He had 2 touchdowns, 9 targets. Go back to week 11, he had a touchdown. Back to week 10 against the Giants, he had a touchdown. All of a sudden, Mohamed Sanu is quietly becoming Andy Dalton's second favorite option behind A.J. Green. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Andrew Hawkins, Armon Binns have been inactive the last couple of weeks. But hey, Sanu's producing, and when you have a guy that seems to have chemistry with your quarterback, you don't just take him out once those other wide receivers come back healthy. I think Sanu's going to be in the lineup the rest of the year for Cincinnati.
Yeah, let's make one thing clear. Sanu's not going to break a big one. Okay, he has 11 catches over the last 3 games, Bill.
Yeah,
and they equate to 98 yards. Mm-hmm. So he's not a big play guy, but he's a red zone guy. He's a big body. kind of a possession guy. And, you know, like you said, four touchdowns last 3 weeks. That's all you need to know.
All right, my next guy I want to mention, Todd, one of your favorite rookies this year, that's T.Y. Hilton. Not only does he get it done in the return game, but he had a nice touchdown grab from Andrew Luck. T.Y. Hilton, four TDs, if you include the punt return, in his last two games. Only three receptions for 33 yards, but again, if you have punt returns that are awarded to an individual player, T.Y. Hilton, I don't know if you can get much better than him at this point.
No, this guy's electric, and, you know, we talked about him in the preseason, and we said take a flyer on this guy, keep an eye on him, put him on your watch list, grab him in all dynasty leagues. You know, Andrew Luck, he's a deep threat. And you got kind of the possession guy and the aging Reggie Wayne. You got T.Y. Hilton that can go deep. He's got blazing speed. And while three catches for 33 yards isn't that sexy, he's becoming a red zone threat, surprisingly. He's a small guy, Bill. He's not a huge dude, but they keep looking to him in the end zone. And then, like you said, he's returning kicks for touchdowns now too. So T.Y. Hilton is definitely a guy to keep an eye on down the stretch.
All right, one more receiver I want to mention is Devon Bess. We talked about him when we were doing the Patriots-Dolphins fantasy breakdown. Bess in Week 12 against the Seahawks. Seven catches, 115 yards. And I hate to say this, Patriot fans, but you know what? He has a great matchup against New England in Week 13.
Yeah, and he's kind of become kind of the number one receiver now, and Brian Hartline's kind of fallen back to the number two guy over the past couple of weeks. It's kind of shifted a little bit, so Bess is interesting, especially in PPR.
All right, so for tight ends that you may want to pick up this week, Jacob Tammy of the Denver Broncos, four catches, 48 yards, and a touchdown against the Chiefs in Week 12. Has some pretty interesting matchups the next 2 weeks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Oakland Raiders. I think the Broncos are going to start looking to Tammy a bit more, especially with Willis McGahee not taking a lot of carries out of the backfield. And Sean Moreno, I'm still not convinced the Broncos have faith in their rushing attack now. Look for them to put more of their offensive game plan on Peyton Manning's shoulders going forward.
Yeah, and Tammy was kind of the, you know, sneaky draft pick. You know, the Peyton Manning loves his tight ends guy, you know, back in August. And he really hadn't panned out too much, but the last couple of games, he's come on a little strong, 53 yards, 48 yards, and a touchdown last week. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of tight ends out there, Bill, but you kind of – if you're in a position where you don't have one of the elite tight ends and you kind of play the matchups, you know, Tammy's a guy you got to consider when the matchup is right. And the next couple of weeks, the matchup is right.
All right, some other tight ends you may want to pick up, Rob Housler and Dallas Clark of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When we come back, we'll be taking your telephone calls, 508-298-0398, and we're answering your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Plus, we'll go over some of our Week 13 player rankings. That's all coming up next right here on patriots.com radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Tired of leaving points on your bench?
You're a loser.
Todd and Bill are here to make sure you never start the wrong player again.
I'm the boss. Need the info.
It's Fantasy Football Stardom Sit'em on Patriots.com Radio.
All right, welcome back. Bill and Todd hanging out with you for about another 20 or so minutes here. Want to help everyone with their fantasy football teams. Want to help set your lineups in Week 13. You can hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps anytime during the week if you're listening to this show on demand. But if you're listening to it live, we'd love to hear from you, so give us a call, 508-298-0398, or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. And we do have some emails pouring in right now that we want to quickly go over because it does play into our Stardom Sit'em segment. We have one from, I can't say this guy's name, Schuler? What do you think? Give it a shot, Todd. What do you think this guy's name is?
It's Schuler K.
Schuler K. Coming at you. He's in a PPR league, and he's tied for a first-round bye in the playoffs. So needless to say, he doesn't care about anything other than Week 15 and Week 16. Now, running back, he has Doug Martin, Fred Jackson, DeMarco Murray, Donald Brown, Lerod Stevens-Howling. But he wants to know, should he go after Bryce Brown or Knowshon Moreno? Probably going to drop Donald Brown out of this equation. What do we think, Todd? Do we think Bryce Brown is good enough in Week 15 and Week 16 that he'll still be playing and not LeSean McCoy?
You know, it's a concussion for McCoy.
Yeah, right.
As far, I mean,
and he's still not cleared to play for this week. He's probably not playing this week.
Probably not. But I'm imagining he's going to come back at some point. I mean, they do have five games to play, right? So that's a tough one, man. I mean, if McCoy's back, he's going to be the guy, obviously, and Bryce Brown will go back to getting two carries a game.
Right.
Knowshon Moreno, I mean,
could be the guy for the rest of the season. Could be.
Really? That would be.
I mean,
that'd be a shocker of all shockers, wouldn't it?
I mean,
but you know, McGahee's not coming back.
Right. Exactly. It's not like McCoy. We think can come back eventually. McGahee's not coming back, folks. That's it for McGahee.
And plus, the Broncos obviously are a much, much better team than the Eagles, and they have lots to play for. And he's got Peyton Manning, you know, balancing a balanced attack with the passing game. Where you got, what, Nick Foles for the Eagles? And no DeSean Jackson? I mean, I don't know. If I'm going to go between the two of them, I'm going to go no Sean. Now, looking at the running backs he does have DeMarco Murray, Bill, who should be back by the time he's in weeks 15 and 16. Right?
He should be back. I mean, if he's going to practice this week, you'd hope he'd be back by week 15.
Yeah, so that's good. So he already has one guy coming back.
Yeah.
He's Donald Brown. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Donald Brown. I'd cut Donald Brown and either pick up Bryce Brown or Noshon. See, he doesn't need Bryce Brown this week. He says he already got the bye week, you know, locked up. He's already got the number one seed locked up. Locked up that number one seed for our guy Shuler. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that we're saying this, but honestly, Noshon Moreno has more upside than Bryce Brown.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Point, yep, between the two of them, you're right.
Now, again, if LeSean McCoy is, like, out for the year with the concussion for some reason, that changed my opinion. But right now, concussion, you know, you'd think LeSean would be back in another week or two.
All right, Phil Hughes is our next emailer, webradio@patriots.com. He says he has a must-win matchup this week, wants some of our advice. He's deciding between Forte and Hartline for his flex spot. Now, the thing is, we don't think Forte's playing this week. So, to me, not much of a question here. You have to go Brian Hartline. Right now, it seems like Matt Forte is going to miss Week 13, but he should be back for Week 14.
Yeah.
So, put in Hartline, and don't even worry about Forte this week. Unless something comes out on Sunday that says he's going to play, I can't see him lining up at all.
I agree. I'm looking at the rest of his bench, Bill, here, and he needs to drop Andre Brown, too.
Another
just if you're listening
back
out there, Phil, drop Andre Brown. He's
not helping you anytime soon.
Yeah, he's out of there. So drop Andre and pick up Noshon Moreno. Right, Bill?
There you go. Yeah.
Noshon Moreno, over the years, Bill, who is more disliked in the Enright household, JerMichael Finley or Noshon Moreno?
You know, I've had how do I word this? All right, I've had the misfortune of drafting JerMichael Finley, and that's why I have so much contempt toward him. Whereas Noshon Moreno, I've never drafted him, and I've just loved watching other people draft him and wither in misery. Whereas with Finley, I've been the one that's been miserable.
Gotcha.
So for that reason, I go with Finley being more of a
burn. He's burned you.
Yeah, he's burned me a lot more than Noshon Moreno has.
Noshon, very quickly in his young career, I'm with you. I gave up on him. I'm like, all right, I'm never touching this guy again.
But he was great at Georgia, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a great final season there. You know, he had that famous touchdown where he did that flip type, you know, aerial helicopter thing. You know, but again, early a year or two into his NFL career, he just was banged up so often that it was a nightmare. So, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, these guys burn you so much that you really don't trust them again. Now, in the right situation right now, you know, Noshon Moreno's a guy you got to pick up, but you can't trust him no matter what he does the next 4 weeks, Bill. He could put up 100-yard games, and you're in your, you know, he could put up 100-yard games between now and your fantasy Super Bowl, and I still wouldn't trust him in my fantasy Super Bowl.
Nah, neither would I.
He'd put up a 23-yard stinker right when you need him most.
Right. That's when you have to worry about. All right, what do you say we get into our stardom sit-em? We want to reveal some of our Week 13 player rankings. Let's start off with the quarterbacks, Todd. I have Eli Manning ranked as my 8th best quarterback this week at ffchamps.com, playing against the Redskins, who are second worst when it comes to stopping the pass. To me, Eli just burned a lot of fantasy managers Week 6, Week 7, Week 8, all the way up until their bye, and then all of a sudden he plays against the Packers, he gets 250-something yards and 3 touchdowns. It looks like the Giants are back in their kind of passing game groove.
I totally agree, and, you know, we just talked about with Andre Brown out, it'll be interesting to see how much the Giants try to preserve Ahmad Bradshaw for a playoff run.
Right. You know,
which could mean a little more passing. And we saw Reuben Randall in the passing game get involved. Obviously, you know, Victor Cruz is there, and Hakeem Nicks is getting healthier by the week as each week passes. So Eli Manning on Monday night against the Redskins, match made in heaven in my book. I'm starting Eli in all formats.
All right, how about Cam Newton, my 11th ranked quarterback this week, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs defense, who are 6th worst when it comes to passing defense. Killer Cam went ham on Monday Night Football, 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards passing. That is what we expected from Cam Newton all season long. Too bad he just hasn't lived up to those expectations. Only the second time this year he's had more than three touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, and as disappointing as he's been, maybe he gets a little bit of confidence from that Monday night game. You know, that was his first Monday night football game. Did you know that?
Ever. Yeah, ever.
So, first Monday football game, he played great. You know, who cares if the opponent was terrible? He, in his head, he played great. And he's got some favorable matchups coming up. Like you just said, Kansas City's a great matchup, even though it's on the road.
Yeah.
And then you got Atlanta, who seems to be playing a lot of high-scoring games. San Diego,
right.
Oakland.
Right.
That's pretty favorable down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree. How about Matt Schaub, the Houston Texans quarterback? We have him ranked 12th, Todd, playing against the Tennessee Titans. Their passing defense, one of the worst in the league, bottom five. So we like Matt Schaub this week, especially with Andre Johnson looking so fresh lately.
Yeah, let's hope Matt Schaub doesn't get kicked in the you-know-what this week.
No, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was, again, that made my 8-year-old son giggle tremendously when he saw that in slow motion, that 300-pound foot of Sue crushing him.
Ugh.
What is up with Sue on Thanksgiving? My God. Every year it's something with that guy. Stomping on people, kicking
people, biting
groin.
People, spitting on people. No,
what's up with that guy?
He didn't do any of that. But he did stomp someone out, and you know it's open for interpretation whether or not he kicked someone on purpose.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for next Thanksgiving. We get to
see
him again.
You know what it has to be, Todd? Ndamukong Suh, big boy, right?
Yeah.
He's probably so frustrated that he didn't get his Thanksgiving meal. He doesn't know how to exert that energy, that aggressiveness in a positive way, so he ends up, you know, kicking and like a 2-year-old.
Stomping and kicking,
right. If the Lions would just feed him before the game, all their problems would go away. That's it. I really believe that. He just wants some turkey. He just wants some stuffing. He just wants some mashed potatoes before the game. Give him that, and he'll give you a dominant performance. Otherwise, you have to deal with him stomping out players, getting sent to Roger Goodell, the principal's office, and stuff like that. It's so simple. Just feed the guy.
I don't know, man. I love watching Detroit. I just love Detroit on Thanksgiving. You never know what's going to happen. You got Megatron. You got Sue kicking people. It's great. It's high entertainment value.
All right, let's go to our sit-em quarterbacks that you should not play in Week 13. Philip Rivers of the San Diego Chargers, we have him ranked 17th against the Bengals, who have a top 10 passing defense. Also, Carson Palmer, leave him on your bench, ranked 18th this week against the Cleveland Browns, who ever since they have Joe Hayden back, their top cornerback, they've been playing much better on defense.
Yeah, you know, Philip Rivers has been a huge disappointment this year, Bill. You know, and he's starting to turn on a little bit. He found Denario Alexander as a nice target last couple of weeks.
Right.
You know, Antonio Gates is kind of hit and miss now. Carson Palmer, just when we thought he was safe to start last week, he let everyone down. So I agree with you there. Those two guys are not guys I trust at this point in the season, not with those matchups.
All right, how about the running backs that you'll want in your lineups this week? Started off with Mekhi Lashore from the Detroit Lions. He's been a top 15 fantasy running back the last month. I have him ranked 9th this week. That's the highest he's ever been playing against the Colts' 22nd rush defense.
Wow. Yeah, well, interesting game there, Bill. I mean, a lot of fantasy juice in that one, if you ask me. Colts and Lions in Detroit, correct?
Yeah.
That is there's a lot of juice in that one. I like that one. Mekhi Lashore, man, when he turns it on, he's pretty darn good. He's a good nose for the end zone, and I agree with you there, man. Get him in your lineups while he's hot.
All right, let's go over to Ben-Jarvis Green. Ellis really coming on the last couple of games. I have him ranked inside the top 20 at number 17, playing against the San Diego defense that is ranked 16th against the run.
Yeah, can't go wrong there. You know, again, he's a hot guy, and you got to ride him while he's hot. I mean, he was so ice cold in the middle of the season. It's good to see him coming on here down the stretch.
Yeah, he was burr, but now he's warming up, baby.
Yeah,
back-to-back weeks with 100 yards.
Yeah, and the matchup's right. So, you know, you got to ride him while he's hot.
All right, how about the sit-em running backs? Get these guys out of your lineups. That's Steven Jackson from the St. Louis Rams. Had a great game in Week 12, but you know what? You have to use some caution when you're starting him against the San Francisco 49ers, who have the best run defense in the National Football League.
They were flat out nasty in that Saints game. Did you watch that game?
Yeah. My boy Sproles didn't do a whole lot until late in the game when they started passing.
Yeah, but I mean, there were so many hard hits there. The Niners were just wreaking havoc. Breeze is lucky to get out of there unscathed because he was getting...
Well, the Niners probably said, well, listen, this is the team that had a bounty against our quarterback last year. Let's make sure that we do, you know, we return the favor this year. That's when it all came out. Remember, the whole bounty scandal really came out after that playoff game last year.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of, just huge big hits. Big hits there.
Yeah.
Who else you got, Stidham?
That was it. Oh, Fred Jackson of the Buffalo Bills. Pretty clear by now that C.J. Spiller is the more productive running back. Finally, Chan Gailey, the Bills head coach, finally caught on to that trend. I think Spiller is expected to get like 60% of the snaps this week. So that means Jackson, we have him ranked down outside the top 20 for 25 for running backs, even though he has a good matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, Spiller's clearly the better athlete when they're both healthy.
Yeah.
And last week, 7.6 yards per carry for CJ. Fred Jackson, only 2.7 yards per carry.
Right.
All right, moving on to the stardom wide receivers, Bill. Pierre Garçon, he looks healthy.
He does look healthy, and he had a great catch against the Cowboys for a touchdown. I mentioned it before, love RG3's deep ball. I think Pierre Garçon is a big-time deep threat. He's number 16 on our weekly rankings at ffchamps.com. The Giants, they're giving up the fourth most points to wide receivers. Love having that player on Monday night. Gives me some extra security knowing I have an extra guy playing when most of my opponents' players have already played. So I like Pierre Garçon in that Monday night matchup against the NFC East rivals, New York Giants.
Are you like me? Like, if you have two players and you're deciding between them, running back or wide receiver, whatever it may be, do you always kind of favor that Monday night guy or that Sunday night guy?
I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, I do.
So do I. I like to backload it. I like to come from behind at the end. I don't know.
I just like the fact that, like last night, perfect example, I had Brandon LaFell in my matchup. Now, LaFell's not exactly a guy that I was expecting a whole lot of points from, but you know what? He got into the end zone, he got 75 yards, and I had already won my matchup at that point. So going into the Monday night game, that's just gravy for my team.
Right.
So I kind of like that, yeah. I kind of do.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's nothing worse than being up by 10, 15, 20 fantasy points, and you're done, and your opponent has a player or two going Monday night.
Now, I'll tell you what. It burned me a couple weeks ago because I put Emmanuel Sanders into my lineup and I lost by 0.5. He played on that Monday night game when Big Ben got hurt, and I was devastated and I cried a little bit. So,
there you go. You know, another star.
Sometimes it comes to bite you.
That's true. It's true. But, you know, there's something. It's always good when that Monday night game, there's something on the line. It just makes everything better, whether you're trying to hold on or you're trying to come from behind. It's always better when that Monday night game means something fantasy-wise. Bill, here's a guy that you love, stardom wide receiver, Cecil Shorts. Do you know where he is from college-wise?
I have no idea. I was going to ask you that. I was hoping you were.
I had to Google it, and I believe the answer – I'll have to re-Google it here. I believe it's Mount Union.
Yes, Mount Union College.
That sound right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
Mount Union. He's from Cleveland. He's only 24 years old. Now, the interesting thing about Cecil Shorts is this. When Jack Del Rio was the coach of the Jaguars, he came out to the press and said, Cecil Shorts is going to be a Pro Bowler in this league. And everyone kind of laughed at him. But you know what? He's been a top eight wide receiver the last month of the season. Who cares if he has Chad Henne throwing him the ball? He's playing against Buffalo this weekend, folks. Get Cecil Shorts into your lineups.
Who cares if you have Chad Henne? Hey, it's looking like it's a hell of a lot better than having Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, yeah, you're right.
I mean, Henne, you know, the last 2 weeks, let's pull it up here. Last week, 261 yards, two touchdowns. Week before that, 354 and four touchdowns. And he didn't play the whole game in that one because he came on and when Gabbert went down, right?
Yeah.
So last 2 weeks, Henny's thrown for 600 yards and six touchdowns. So, yeah, give me Shorts. Give me Blackman. These guys are starting to produce. I like
it.
There
you go.
Load up on the Jags, baby. Who would have thunk it?
I don't know.
I'm being a little sarcastic there.
I know.
But, yeah, Cecil Shorts, man. How can you argue? The production's there. Like you said, top eight wide receiver in the last month. That's huge.
All right, how about some wide receivers that you should leave out of your lineup? That's Dwayne Bowe of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, he used to get a lot of garbage time points, but now he can barely get a catch. I have him ranked 29th on our rankings at ffchamps.com. And then Denario Alexander, San Diego Chargers wide receiver. He's been hot, but he's about to cool off in a big way against a stingy, stingy, stingy Cincinnati Bengals defense. Alexander is ranked 20th playing against a secondary that is giving up the third least amount of points to wide receivers.
Dwayne Bowe, I mean, here's another guy where he's just on the wrong team. He's got Brady Quinn throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't feel bad for Bowe as much as I do Larry Fitz.
I agree. But, I mean, Larry Fitz is kind of a class act, and Bowe's kind of a prima donna. Yeah. But this is another example. If you don't have the wide, if you don't have the quarterback, you are doomed. And these, look at these teams. Look at why they are where they are in the win loss column. Look at the quarterback situations. Kansas City. I mean, right now they're lined up for the number one pick. Or number
Kansas
two.
Kansas City is, yeah. They're the first team that's mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 1-10.
Yeah.
Wow. 1-10. So, yeah, they have the first pick if it were to start now. Jacksonville would have the second pick. And I believe it or not, the Eagles would have the third pick. Isn't that crazy? Interesting for Kansas City, though, Bill. There's really no franchise quarterback coming out of college, in my view. Not if you compare him to Andrew Luck or RG3 or any of those types of guys. There's no Matt Stafford's coming out this year. So it'll be interesting to see if one of those teams that needs QB early in the draft reaches for one.
All right, some other players that you should either take out of your lineups or put into your lineups. What do you say we move? Oh, do we have any tight ends listed? I think I forgot to list tight ends, Todd.
You forgot the tight ends.
Oh,
come on.
What was I thinking? What
How
was
could
I
you forget
thinking?
The tight ends? Well, let's pull them up. Let's look and see who you like.
Pull them up right now. Here's what we got. We have, obviously, Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez, Owen Daniels, Aaron Hernandez, and Jason Witten in the top five. Outside the top 15, JerMichael Finley, Brandon Pettigrew against the Indianapolis Colts. Pettigrew is a solid tight end, probably in a lot of fantasy teams. He's been putting it together the last couple weeks. But you know what? Leave him on your bench, as the Indianapolis Colts have allowed the second least amount of points to opposing tight ends. Kyle Rudolph, we mentioned he's a little bit banged up for the Vikings, playing against the Green Bay Packers team that typically shuts down the tight end. And then Brent Celek of the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys. I have him ranked outside the top 20 this week.
Wow.
Leave Celek on your bench.
Totally agree with that. What about JerMichael Finley?
Yeah, I told
him. Your boy.
I said JerMichael Finley ranked outside the top 15, 16.
Of course. Of course. JerMichael. Yep. You know, how about his just another ridiculous drop from him on the other night?
Oh, terrible.
You know, and it was funny. The announcers went off on him a little bit, too. So I was thinking of Mr. Enright, when JerMichael had another one of his, you know, classic drops, wide open, hitting the hands, just doesn't come up with it. Hands on the hips, shaking his head, welcome back to the huddle. Aaron Rodgers with that awful mustache, giving him a little bit of a glare. What's up with that mustache, by the way?
I think it's for Movember.
I know, but what is this Movember? When did this start?
It started a couple years ago. It's like
I
a carrot. I actually am. If I could grow a mustache, I would do it. It's a support for testicular cancer research.
I know, but...
Listen. The NFL, all males, right? The players are males. I don't know why the NFL doesn't make more of a big deal about supporting research for testicular cancer as they do for breast cancer.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with supporting research for breast cancer. I think it's great. But why not do something for the disease that affects the males? The ones that are playing in the sport. The ones that are on the sidelines. The ones that are coaching your teams.
Well,
you get nothing.
I think breast cancer affects males, too. We all love, you know, breasts. So,
you know what I'm trying to say, Kevin.
Just saying.
Stop being so facetious.
Leave the breasts alone.
You're like a child thinking about breasts all day.
I am a child.
I got a 13-year-old boy
compared to Todd, I'm a child.
All I'm saying is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers was doing it. I think Jay Cutler was doing it for a little while. A couple of the other quarterbacks around the league, and I support their decision to do that. Even though you look like a total creep, you look like a wacko, at least you're doing it for the right cause.
Why don't they just come with a color to wear, you know, instead of...
What are you going to wear, brown?
Brown, yeah, that'd be awesome. Everyone wears the old Cleveland Brown uniforms.
Why not? Why not?
Movember, mustache, November, rhymes kind of, Movember.
Everyone loves a good Flava Saver.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's a hit with the ladies, but...
No, they hate it.
It's not. My wife did double take when she saw Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, wasn't that... I think that was on the league.
I think they
did it on the league, or it was on one of the shows I watched. One of the characters grew out a mustache, and he was looked at it like a big creep.
Yeah, well, you don't look, you look creepy. There's no other way to put it. It's a creepy look.
Couple last minute emails to get to here. Our friend Mike P. wants to know if he should drop Rashad Mendenhall from his roster. It's hard to say because we don't know who he would be dropping Mendenhall for. If you have a guy like Knowshon Moreno or Bryce Brown, then absolutely drop Mendy and go get Bryce Brown or Knowshon Moreno. And then how about our friend Jacob in Denmark? He has a running back question as well. Should he drop Brandon Lloyd and pick up Bryce Brown, Knowshon Moreno, or Michael Bush? I don't know who his other wide receivers are.
No, right now. You're misreading that one, my friend. What? I think he asked the question, should I drop Brandon Lloyd for Pierre Garçon?
Yeah, I think that question is ridiculous. So I skipped over that part, and I answered the part where he says, which running back do you like most of the rest of the season?
Gotcha.
See what I did there?
You're one step ahead of me.
I tried.
All right.
Bryce Brown, Knowshon Moreno, Michael Bush. I like Michael Bush the best out of those two other guys.
How long do you think Forte's out for?
I don't know. Maybe 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's only 4 weeks really left in the fantasy season, right?
Yeah.
Do any of you guys play in leagues that counts week 17?
No.
I think one of my leagues doesn't end till after next week, so they must count 17, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I'm in leagues where week 14 is the end of the regular season, and week 15 and 16 are semifinals.
Yeah, I'm in one league that ends after this coming week, and then another league that has 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But that still doesn't mean they're going to use week 17.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't like it if they use week 17, just because of all the, you know, there's a lot of teams that have just quit.
Yeah, that and a lot of teams that have sowed everything up in the seeds and they don't need to play their starters. And I mean, look at the Colts a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
They packed it up in like November.
Yeah. Fortunately, I was just looking ahead as you guys were doing start sit, and I'm fighting for my life in this one league. I could finish as high as third going into the playoffs, or I could miss the playoffs completely. It's just a really tightly packed league. And fortunately, the two guys that are kind of out of it are playing one another. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because it would stink that if, you know, if someone ahead of you gets one of the two terrible teams.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just sort of like a shoe-in. It's just one more spot that you're not going to get. But this is by far the tightest year that we've had. And this is that league. I know Bill talks about his league that he's in with his high school buddies.
Right.
So this is that, like, ultimate bragging rights league. And we're just all tightly packed.
How many years have you been doing it with that?
This has got to be since college, since like early college maybe.
So what, 10 years?
Yeah, so probably right around 10 years,
How many leagues have you won? How many titles?
I've only won once.
Come on.
Yeah. There's 10 guys in it. And
you've only won one time?
Yep.
That's terrible.
One guy's won like four times. So he's dominated, and
his last name DeVries Renright?
No,
hey, that's a dynasty.
I just beat him this past week to kind of open things up where it's just like, you know, the amount of options is ridiculous. There's three or four guys that could finish between like third and eighth. It's obscene. But it'll be a fun last week for sure.
I'm counting up my titles in this one league. I want you to tell me, Bill, if this is a dynasty or not. Okay.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If you've won more than two titles in 4 years, that's a dynasty.
But
three titles in 5 years.
Who's in this league with you?
Four titles in 6 years.
All right. This league I'm in.
Yeah. Who's in it with you, though?
It's the bragging rights. Okay. I'm in two leagues that are bragging rights.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. And actually, there's like three owners that cross over to two of these leagues. So one league has been around for 17 years.
Wow.
All right. And I've won six of them. All right, is that okay?
Yeah, I would give
that. All right, now the other one, hold on, I got to count this one up. The other one's been around 15 years.
Man, you're ancient.
How many have I won? I'm counting them up. 1, 2, 3, 4. I won four. So that's 10 titles out of 32 seasons.
17 years, man. I was 10 years old when you started that league.
I know, man. I was drafting John Elway and Jerry Sanders back then.
Yeah, we all know you're good at fantasy football. We get the
points. No, I'm just saying. Is that a dynasty, Bill? Bill doesn't seem too impressed.
I would say yeah.
Say it again.
10 out of 32.
Yeah, and you know both leagues.
What
combined,
does that break down to?
That's one every like 3 years.
One every three years. That's legit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear. Continue with the compliments.
Yeah, one out of every three years, you get to call yourself a champion.
Yeah, that's good. And these are all the boys, you know.
Have you ever won back-to-back?
Have Have I ever won back-to-back? Yeah, I've won back-to-back.
No, I've never won back-to-back. I've gotten so close one time. Last year, I had the greatest team ever assembled, which I named myself the greatest team ever assembled. But I had the most points, the most wins all year, and I lost in the playoffs.
Well, see, in the bragging rights,
I think I legit cried after that game, legit tears.
The confusing part for me, guys, is like in this bragging rights league that we were just talking about,
yeah,
where I could finish anywhere from third to eighth, I have the most points in the league, but yet I'm 6-6. It's frustrating.
Listen, that means nothing. At the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. Same thing in the NFL.
I know.
Same thing in fantasy football.
It's just
most
frustrating
because
there's people ahead of me that have like hundreds of
you know what?
Points.
That's just bad luck, dude.
It is.
Sometimes
crappy.
In order to win the fantasy football championship, you need to have a great team and a lot of luck.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't like to hear that second part, but it's
Kevin,
the truth. It is
Kevin,
the truth.
What's that, Todd?
Your points against is probably number one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm number one in both categories. Yeah,
I'm 7-5.
Awful luck.
Yep, I'm 7-5 in the league, just like that, Bill or Kevin. I'm number
it's
one.
So
by
frustrating.
Mile, but I'm number
so
one.
So I mean,
against.
the only good thing I have, Todd, here is that so I'm 6-6, like I just told you, and you know, if I'm fortunate enough to win and you know tie with a couple other guys, I'm going to win all those tiebreakers because the tiebreakers is total points. So that's the one.
That's the first tiebreak.
It's not head to head. It's total points. So, but I'm not the league manager, so don't yell at me. But he made that rule. I mean, that's been the rule since the league was created. So at least I know that if I tie, if it gets down to the real nitty gritty and like I tie for that last spot, I know that I'll, you know, be in good shape because of the amount of points I've scored.
Yeah, I hear you.
So at least that's kind of like a fail safe for me, but it's just so uncomfortable. You know, I thought I drafted really well. And I've survived the Gronk injury for 1 week, and I won last week, and I knocked off the first-place team without arguably my best fantasy player.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, how many things can I survive here? It just seems like everybody who plays me has, like, some crazy game, like the muscle hamster goes off or, you know, Schaub gets 50 points or something like that. But we'll see.
So, Kevin, we will guide you to the title.
Say a prayer for me this week. It's going to be tight.
Yeah, we need to have something to talk about with you, because otherwise we have nothing in common with you.
That's true.
That's
I'm useless.
That's another thing. You know, it's not only bragging rights. If you don't make it to the playoffs, you're cut off. For the next 2-3 weeks,
well, no,
that's
it's bad
it.
For us.
Your friends leave you alone. They don't invite you over to watch the games anymore.
Yeah,
they don't trash talk you. No Facebook posts. Nothing. You're out of their life for the next 2 or 3 weeks if you're out of the playoffs.
And if they don't
just
make
the
it,
works.
It's bad for ratings, because they
just
won't
the
listen
works.
To us. So we got to hope these people make it.
Yeah,
that's right.
All I'll tell you what, our members at FFChamps.com, they win their leagues, man. Like, I know they win their leagues because I get thousands of tweets. I get thousands of emails through our expert advice service, and they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't still in their league. So I know our members are dominating, and I'm very happy to help them do that.
I'm starting the music, Bill.
All right, there we go. Any last words before we kick it off
or
close it out?
Good luck to everybody, and what's probably going to be a fun last week.
Todd, what do you got?
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm just cruising along. I'm waiting for the playoffs to begin in my leagues, Bill. I'm all set. I'm locked and loaded, baby.
Love to hear it. I want to thank everyone for listening to our Fantasy Football Champs show. Thank you to our producer, Kevin Collins. Excellent job today. For Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright. We'll be back on Patriots.com radio for Football Nation on Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, best of luck in Week 13.
Winning made easy with FFChamps.com.